So I would what I'd like to do is to read the next passage that comes in the series that I've been preaching on Colossians, and that is Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through 25, and you'll note when you hear this that it doesn't apply to you very much. So listen for it. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for man. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. There is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. When we use the phrase, or say the phrase, Jesus is Lord, or when we say the full name of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're stating more than an affirmation of our faith. We're also proclaiming that we are under a Lord. We are under a ruler, a king, a governor, and we are submitted to his supremacy. And this was the theme that Paul, in the book of Colossians, was trying to bring out, the supremacy of Christ, that he is the supreme human ruler, that God's Son became man, and by his death and by his resurrection, he has assumed that he has been given the place of human kingship over all things. Over all things. Things in the spiritual realm, things in the physical realm. Over heaven and earth. Over the biggest galaxies and over the tiniest microbes. He is ruler of all things. Now, we proclaim that. We say that when we say Jesus is Lord. We confess that he is ruler of the universe. All things in the universe. But, we don't always live that way. We don't always make him Lord over all the things in our lives in a practical way. And this is often the case in our relationships, in relationships that we have. And that's why I've entitled this message, Our Relationships Under His Lordship. What is our relationship under his lordship? That's basically the question. And these verses are actually going to tell us about relationships. And I hope to show how they give us this idea that Christ's authority presides over all relationships in a Christian's life. Christ's authority presides over those relationships. Well, why must Jesus govern our personal relationships? Why must he be the governor of those relationships? Well, God is a society of three persons. And when he created us, he created us that way too, to be a society. We are actually, you know, God in his society lives in perfect love, perfect peace, perfect unity. And when God created us, it says, let us, that's important about the Trinity, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So we know that we have a social likeness in God. We have a social likeness in God. And God intends that we represent him in those Trinitarian characteristics of love and peace and unity. Well, sin brings chaos and disharmony into our relationship, into our social, our society, into our relationships. If it's left up to ourselves, love can be actually very selfish. If it's left up to ourselves, peace can be an imaginary thing. If it's left up to ourselves, unity sometimes has to have external laws on the outside, not internalized, but external laws to make us be in unity. And so we have to obey those laws so that we're in unity. Well, Jesus came not only as Savior from our sin, so that we could have forgiveness for our sin, which this table represents, but He came as King over everything, as King to reestablish in human society the love, the peace, and the unity that was a self-portrait of God. Marriage relationships, parent-child relationships, and employee-employer relationships, which are in this passage, they all suffer from the effects of sin. And Jesus can forgive us for the transgressions that we have made in all those relationships. But He also wants to bring kingdom values and kingdom rule into our lives so that all the relationships that we have are under His authority. Because when we proclaim Jesus is Lord, we must find out what His will is in relationships so that He can be Lord in those relationships. His authority presides over all the relationships in a Christian's life. But this list of relationships doesn't apply to me. You might be saying that because you say, I'm looking at those things. This is more for a younger congregation where there's young couples and married and with children and people are working in the world. And well, that is literally true. That is literally true. But we can say seniors, they don't, you know, a lot of seniors, their parents are almost all gone. I think here all of our parents are gone. My parents are gone too. The unmarried, they don't have to listen to the things about obey your husband, the unmarried. Or the widowed, they don't have to listen to some of these things. Or the childless couple, there's no parental relationship there. The orphan who didn't know who his parents are. The person who is unemployed or retired, there's no employee-employer relationship. So we say, well, how does that apply to me? God sometimes gives us specific commands because they represent a larger principle. And I want to sort of show how that is. In this passage, there's these relationships that are listed, and there are three categories that are listed, three categories of relationships that include this list and go beyond the list. And those are this. Chosen, the category of chosen relationships, like marriage or friends that we have. Those are chosen. Natural relationships, ones that we didn't choose because our parents or child or our relatives, and all of you, most of you have relatives that are still living. And then there are incidental relationships. They come along with our place, where we're at in our lives. It could be employment, but it could be our neighbors. It could be our landlords or the Escaton Village staff. And it could be many, many others. The incidental relationship catches everybody out. If you think, I don't have any of those things, well, incidentally, you do. You do, incidentally. How does God's directive that He's given in this specific list for these various relationships that are listed in this passage, how do they apply to these broader three groups? Well, I want to illustrate this in a sort of a funny way. It's like, I want to take what He said, or at least some of the things that He said, and I want to put some of those other categorical relationships into the passage. You can switch them around. You could actually put other ones in there. It's not a rule list I'm making. But I want to show you how it works. I want to show you how the broader categories you can take from different things that are in your lives right now that are relationships and put them in there. Submit to your activities director as it is fitting in the Lord. Love your neighbors and do not be harsh with them. Obey your security guards in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Do not embitter your housekeeper, or they will become discouraged. Obey the executive staff in everything, not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Doesn't that make it practical? Christ's authority presides over all our relationships as Christians. He is King. We say it, we mean it, we need to do it. We need to do it. It's not just the ones listed in the passage, it's the other categories that those listed represent. And the attitudes and the ways of behavior in this passage are not exhaustive. The whole New Testament gives you principle after principle and precept about how to relate to other people. How should we relate to people? How should we live our lives with others based on our submission to Jesus as Lord? What does it mean to be a Christian? How does our relationship with the Lord do that? And that's what this passage does. This passage may not be exhaustive in those things, but it does give us the attitude. It gives us the attitude in these words for all relationships. And it's in these verses, 22 and 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Our attitude in all of our relationships should be that of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, well, I'm not a servant of those people. Yeah, but you're serving Christ, and so you are. You are a servant, serving Christ. Now, this might be hard. You say, well, yeah, but I have this direct relationship with these people, and you're saying I'm serving Christ. It looks like I've got two directions going here. I want to show you. You know, so how can I remain that? How can I get that attitude and keep it in all these things? Because I get it confused. Here's my relationship with Christ. Here's my relationship with people. You got two things going on here. How can I maintain that attitude you're talking about? Well, in some relationships, things are great. Oh, we love it. You know, it's a great relationship. I really like that relationship. And then in other relationships, it's really hard because you can't get along in those relationships. For instance, you might have an obnoxious relative. Oh, you don't want them to come over. Oh, they give a phone call. They're coming. Oh, let's see. What can I do today that I need to be out of the house? Or a discourteous neighbor. Oh, boy. You just don't talk to that neighbor because they've been discourteous to you one time or maybe a couple times. A committee member who always disagrees with everything you suggest. It doesn't matter what it is. They got another viewpoint and they put you down. There can be people that our relationships, we don't get along very well in those relationships. Jesus gave us a solution. And you're going to have to follow this pretty closely because I'm going to try to illustrate it. Okay, he said this in Luke 14:26. This is a verse that is often misunderstood, and people say, oh, I don't understand what Jesus is talking about there. I want to try to illustrate it for you so you'll always understand it is the key to relationships and having them under His Lordship. In Luke 14:26, He said this, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Whoa, that's a hard one, isn't it? Let me show you what it means. Let it show you what it means. Relationships are like ties or bonds or heartstrings or cords that go out and they come from our heart and they attach to another person. Some of them are very good and some of them are very bad. That we don't have a good relationship. It's a bad cord coming, a heartstring that goes out of our heart, and it's on the bad side. It's not doing very well. That's what these are like. And what Christ is telling us by saying hate these things. He says hate all of these relationships. He's asking us to cut them off. He's saying, cut them off. Take them in a bundle and hand them over to me. So that there's no more direct relationship. You see what Jesus does? He takes those cords very carefully and he says, ah, the one that's attached to your wife. And he reattaches it based on his standards. And then he takes another one and he attaches it to your brother or sister or your friend or neighbor or of all the other relationships. All the heart types that you have, you make a big cut. You cut them all off. You hand them to the Lord. You've hated them for the Lord's sake. In other words, you've disconnected yourself from those people for the Lord's sake. And what you've done by doing this, Jesus has reattached them based on his standards, not on your likes or dislikes. Because your likes or dislikes can change. His won't. His will not change. But I don't have a good relationship with my parents. Now, Jesus says, you have no relationships at all. You gave them all to me. And as your Lord, I tell you to honor your parents. Doesn't matter if you like them or not, because the relationship now belongs to me. You see how wonderful that is? It takes us out of our hands. We don't always have a direct relationship. We don't have a two-split relationship. It's only one relationship, and it goes back to all those other people through the Lord's hand. I do love my wife, but her nagging makes me blow up. You have hated your relationship with your wife for my sake, and now it belongs to me, not you. So I tell you, husband, love your wife. And do not treat her harshly. That stands forever, whether I go up or down in my relationship with my wife. Do you see? Do you see how this works? Relationships used to be all on our own, directly. We got into a lot of trouble with relationships that way. But no longer. No more. Christ's authority presides over all relationships in a Christian's life. Without his rulership, without his overruling power and direction to direct us, we can't achieve that love and that peace and that unity that God intended for human society and human relationships. In fact, if we haven't already done it, we need to confess to the Lord and ask forgiveness for having transgressed on many, many relationships in our lives. That's what this table is all about. It says, make sure your hearts can right with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Make sure your relationship, you've seen the body of Christ the way you should see it when you come to the table. And then after we've got forgiveness for our bad relationship that we've had and what we've done, then we need to bring them all and present our relationships under his authority and put them under his authority into his hand. Hate them, cut them for Christ's sake and hand the connections to him so he can reattach him on his standards, not on our likes or dislikes. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord as a fact, and he wants to be Lord in our relationships. Let's remember it, and let's pray. And especially, this is a good reminder. Communion is a wonderful reminder of if we've yanked on the Lord's hand and got that relationship out of his hand and reattached it directly to somebody, and we really are off on them. We just don't... I just wanted to ventilate a little bit, Lord. Okay, now you can have it back. Well, that ventilation needs to be confessed at the table, because you shouldn't have pulled it out of the Lord's hand and tried to reattach it. You want to keep the relationship through Jesus all the time because he is Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Your word is so amazing. We can always learn something new, and I have in approaching this passage. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us in all the relationships that we have, that we've chosen, our friends and if we have mates that we're still mated to, and those that we haven't chosen, the one that are our natural relationships, our relatives and so on. But then also the incidental ones. Lord, that covers everything else. I pray, Father God, that you will be Lord in all of them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.